Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
He's now on Notre Dame. So there's so many unique kind of wrinkles and intricacies to this game. It does feel like Connor Wegman, the quarterback for A&M, and maybe it's just the circles I run in, but it feels like he's getting like a little too much love out there. Like, oh, you know, Connor Wegman, he could be pretty good if he could just stay healthy. Like,
I think
neither one of these quarterbacks.
I think you're just listening to me too much because I like him.
No, I mean, neither one of these quarterbacks really played much football at all last year, right? They both dealt with injuries.
I mean, Wegman's been hurt, I think, every year.
Yeah. So it's kind of the big unknown. Like, he could come out and sling it around, and, you know, and it could be quite the night for that Colt down there in College Station. But no, I'm looking forward to it. It's gonna be a fun one. I'll be chewing my fingernails all night long with that one.
All right. Anything else Saturday before we get to Sunday?
Yeah, I got just a couple games that I've just listed here. So it's interesting. I saw this trend, and I'm not a huge trend guy, but this was tweeted out by Ralph Michaels, and it was saying teams who play week zero historically stink in the second
game. I was going to say, I kind of want to fade Georgia Tech this week.
Oh, dude, that's like my number one, like, can I do it? Like, Georgia State, I mean,
you got to really hold your nose there.
What a weird spot, though, because Sean Elliott, their coach, 2 practices in the spring was like,
yeah, peace.
I'm out, going to South Carolina, enjoy life.
To be a position coach.
Yeah. FBS teams playing game 2 versus an FBS team playing their season opener since 2008 are just 39% against the spread. If they lost at home, very small sample size, but if they lost at home, they're 4-11 ATS. So that would be New Mexico and Nevada. I think Nevada, another hold-your-nose spot, because Troy lost a ton because John Summerall, their coach, left to go to Tulane. They, I believe, are returning a total of 4 starters. I am not a believer in Jared Parker whatsoever, their new head coach, who was the former OC of Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
That said,
the spot's the spot.
Nevada is traveling now from elevation in Reno to, I'm sure, wildly hot and humid temperatures in Troy, Alabama. And oh, by the way, the line was 15, and now it's 8. It's moved to touchdown. So we could get Troy in a perceived kind of juicy spot there. And then you've got, and like, Nevada just had their hearts ripped out in their first ever game. They were up, what, 17 or whatever it was? And then they let SMU come back.
Yeah. I kind of like those spots. All right, LSU, USC. Whew. I can't tell which side's trendier.
It's a good question. I mean, the market's moved in favor of LSU. It's gone from 6 down to 4.5. Circa, where my studio is at, is down to 4 in favor of LSU. They're still the favorite. Look, I'll say this. Brian Kelly, historically year 3, does quite well. Cincinnati, undefeated, left before their bowl game, went to Notre Dame. Year 3 at Notre Dame, led them to the national championship game. Not the national championship. Mm-hmm. Went, led them to the game. This is year 3. But like, am I just supposed to sit here and expect LSU, who lost the Heisman Trophy winner, 2 first-round wide receivers, and their offensive coordinator, be like, yeah, they're going to be good? I'm not saying they're going to stink. They've been recruiting at a high level. Garrett Nussmeier's played a lot of football.
Well, but the other problem is, are we really supposed to believe that like every problem they had on defense was just the coordinator?
Well, they got Blake Baker. Well, I'll say this. Of the 2 teams, USC got the better D coordinator.
Yeah.
D'Anton Lynn comes over from UCLA. The dude's awesome. Like, I think he's a really good coordinator. And They went out and got Doug Belk, who was a rising coordinator candidate a couple years ago. He's now their D-backs coach. And then they got the North Dakota State head coach to be their linebackers coach. Like, they went out and built up this staff. Now, they got to have the players there. And then, you know, Miller Moss, I get it. Like, he played one game, a bowl game against Louisville. He looked the part. At this point, man, I give the benefit of the doubt to Lincoln Riley and his prowess as coaching up the QBs. He's got a decent track record of Baker to Kyler to Caleb, and now Miller Moss apparently is his guy. They could have went to the portal, but they said, no, we're going to roll with this dude. So it's going to be a fast track. You got a high total of 64, 64 and a half. I haven't bet it yet, but I would probably look a little bit towards the Dirty Trojans here than LSU. Even though it's going to sound like a home game, man. That the whole city of Baton Rouge is coming to Vegas. Like, the entire city will be here.
Does SC travel?
No.
Yeah, I was like, I don't.
Their band does.
Oh, you think we'll hear that song?
Hopefully we hear it a lot if we bet USC.
I can't tell. Which side's the trap? North Carolina minus two at Minnesota or Minnesota getting two? I don't know. One side's the trap, but I can't figure out which one.
I don't know. I mean, I've heard differing opinions on both sides. Minnesota, what, their starting quarterback is like a kid from New Hampshire.
Was it Delaware?
Bromer? Max
yeah.
Bromer or something like that?
I've heard he doesn't throw the ball more than like 5 yards.
Yeah. I kind of think that this... Is this a hot take? I think this might be the last year for P.J. Fleck. He was poking around.
The problem is, where's he going to go?
Oh, I think he might get fired. Like, at some point, does that, like, ski you, ma, row the boat? Does it all kind of
He has a shelf life. But, like, I don't...
Lost his defensive coordinator, Michigan State, Joe Rossi, who was pretty highly regarded. Didn't he lose his... He lost his O-coordinator a couple years back to Rutgers.
Didn't he fire him? He fired one.
Yeah, I don't know. I know I should have an opinion on that one. I don't trust, you know, my colleague Adam Burke at VSiN, he loves UNC this year. Like, he likes their alt win total over. He likes them in this spot. Anything south of a field goal. I can't get there. You know, I'll say this to get really weird. Thursday night, we have no idea what to expect. At 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on
True TV. Are you telling me you don't believe?
I think we might have to look at Sacramento State plus the 4.5 against my guy, Ken Niumatalolo, and San Jose State.
They're running. What's that new offense that's called? It's like
spread and shred.
Yeah, spread and shred. There you go.
Craig Stutzman, the former Washington State offensive coordinator, walks in there. I believe per returning production, I think San Jose State is like bottom five in the country. So I have no idea what to expect from that game. I'm actually pretty excited it's on national television.
True TV.
True TV, baby. You know, it's not just March Madness anymore. If you want your Mountain West football, True TV, the place to be.
So, well, did you see the other big news from True TV? See that the Impractical Jokers are moving to TBS?
What? What are they going to promote now during March Madness?
I have no idea.
That's the only thing they promoted. How many times did you fall asleep to the last game on True TV and you wake up to Impractical Jokers?
Oh, the sweet spot of when you wake up on Friday after the Thursday of the tournament is one of your TVs has Charmed on, the other TV has Impractical Jokers, one TV also has Big Bang Theory, and then you've got whatever CBS's morning show is.
That's the
four song superset, if you will.
That's the trifecta there. Uh-huh. So, and then lastly, sticking the Mountain West, I think I might take some Wyoming at Arizona State.
Is that an ASU fade?
Yeah, a little bit of that. I think there's not going to be that much of a drop off for Wyoming after Craig Bohl left. They hired from within. They've got a quarterback, Evan Svoboda. He wears 17 and he's 6'5 and 240 pounds. It's like, dude, are you just trying to be Josh Allen? Like,
I mean, it's not a bad career move.
No, I mean, hey, why not? But the only worry why I haven't gotten in the window just yet is that Wyoming's starting running back, who was, I think, second team all conference, is out for the foreseeable future. So that's a bit of an issue. But I think the hold you know special, though, is Georgia State. I don't know if we just go first half, if we go full game. But I went back and I looked up a couple of the teams, very small sample size, who played like FBS opponents off of Ireland.
Yeah.
And usually it's a pretty slow start. Like Penn State a couple years ago was up by like a touchdown on Akron at halftime. Notre Dame in 2012 almost lost to Purdue. So could be a slow start, sluggish, you know. Got to imagine that plane ride home was pretty fun.
Yeah. All right, buddy, we appreciate it.
All right, see you guys.
Talk to Tim next week. When we come back, let's get into the list. We've had a little bit of a schedule update for the Grizzlies' fall schedule. We'll tell you about that. Also, the Memphis Sports Hall of Fame, and Kevin's got a rant coming up. We'll do that all next. Also, Mike Sando of The Athletic joins us during hour number two. Stick around. You're listening to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the audio.
Let's get into the list.
Jeffrey and company make a list of the biggest stories, both good and bad, that we need to talk about. This is The List.
You just made the list!
Presented by Birdies 901, Memphis's place for virtual golf. The List on 92.9.
The Memphis Grizzlies.
You just made the list!
Yeah, this is according to Drew Hill over at the Daily Memphian. The Memphis Grizzlies announced the franchise's full schedule, easy for me to say, on Tuesday, which will include an open practice available to fans at FedEx Forum. The Grizzlies will hold practice Sunday, October the 6th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. The Grizzlies are holding training camp this season in Nashville due to ongoing construction upgrades that will limit space in the team's practice gym. Other events on the fall calendar include Grizzlies Day with the Memphis Redbirds, that is September the 21st, and Grizzlies Night at the Overton Park Shell on October the 4th. The full schedule can be found online at NBA.com. So you have Tacos in Ganas Plaza Party. The Tacos in Ganas Plaza Party, that's the 28th, so that's tomorrow night. That will be at the Big River Steel Plaza, so the Big River section of the Forum. They've renamed the plaza.
It has naming rights.
Correct. They've renamed the plaza in front of the Forum. So Grizz Night at Overton Shell, that will be on Friday night.
The big news tomorrow, when we're done with the show, they're starting to hand out free tacos at 4 o'clock
Tacos and Ganas tacos.
Yes, not just any tacos, right. Tacos and Ganas, yes.
Then we have...
Now available in FedEx Forum. So that's a new concession option this season is going to be the Taco and Ganas. So that's a pretty cool local upgrade there. I just had some the other night.
I do like when we put local restaurants in there. I think that's a
great showcase.
It's a good showcase. I understand for restaurants sometimes it's not the easiest thing to do.
Right, and FedEx Forum does a better job than the airport
when it comes to that. That's a more than fair point. All right, I got to talk to you about this one. All right, 901 Day Celebration.
That is Sunday.
You and I are born and raised in this fair city.
Mm-hmm.
When did 901 Day start to become a thing? Is that a social media creation?
Yes.
This was never a thing.
Right. It is very recently, maybe in the past.
And I have no problem celebrating our town or city. I got no problem. It's just I don't like how it gets shoved down our throats like it was something that's always existed. It hasn't always existed.
It definitely acts to the younger generation. They may think that is the case because there's not a true, like, you know, that on the 4th of July, each city's going to do some type of firework thing, right? What is the official 901 day? Because the Grizzlies are partnering with the city of Memphis and the downtown Memphis Commission with a day long celebration on Beale Street. What does that mean? It means it's going to be hot. One of the biggest problems with 901 day is often falls on Labor Day, definitely on Labor Day weekend.
This is the problem.
it could actually be on Labor Day, right? So it's Labor Day weekend this year. So at least you kind of have 9-1 day, one day, and you have college football starting, and then and that, and you get a lot. Everything's spread out a little bit, but we don't know necessarily what, because there's a lot of places that are trying to take advantage of it, and some places are doing their own traditions, and they've done them, and they've done them well. Like Rail Garden does 9-1 Fest, Day Fest. So there's 9-1 Day Fest that goes on the whole weekend. I know Grand City Brewing's having something, and then obviously there's this. So there's a lot of different things. So it's, but there's not one obvious thing like you get when it's 4th of July. I wish we had one obvious something.
Like, I don't mind. Like, we have way too many National Taco Days. Like, there's 37 National Taco Days. But like,
crunchy taco, soft taco day.
Correct. But like, at a certain level, it's like, okay, if it's going to drive foot traffic to local businesses, right, I'm cool with that. But like, 9-1 Day doesn't really specifically do that. You know what I mean?
Right. And there's been, it's coming up though this weekend. It is 9-1 Day. You can't, celebrate the area code. Shout out some 9-1 wrestling. I love 9-1 wrestling. So, my thing is the Grizzlies Day, the Redbirds. That always reminds me that the Redbirds season goes really late now. It didn't used to go this long, right? Like
we used to have like September call-ups.
And we would be, but it's not until September 21st. So the Redbirds are still going to be playing on September 21st.
On paper.
There's going to be games. Mm-hmm. There's going to be games.
Uh-huh.
On there, but the big news for the Grizzlies has been the Taco and Giannis news. I think that's going to be
The other big news is for those that were really hoping for the Mamadi Diakate era. I pour one out. He was officially, the Grizzlies have waived. They're going to use the stretch provision, which means they're going to use 3 years to take his money against the cap, like to spread it out against the cap. He will not be a part of the team. I know everyone was. I know everyone was. Very, very much looking forward to
it. Yeah.
Yes, of course.
Highly anticipated moment. Not going to happen.
Memphis Sports Hall of Fame.
You just made the list.
Yeah, the Memphis Sports Hall of Fame announced the class of 2024 with an induction ceremony scheduled for October the 16th at the Renaissance Convention Center. The inductees are as follows: Zach Randolph, Reggie White, Jarvis Greer, Dick Fagen, Andre Turner, Andy Roberts, Bobby Bingo Smith, Regina Street. They will also have prep honorees, Robert Newman, and former ECS football coach, Jim Hines. I think he was also a baseball coach as well. And we are also introducing a new award. It is the John Stamm, J.J. Ganozo Legacy Award, which will honor, it's an honorary legacy award, was named and presented to John Stamm and J.J. Ganozo in recognition of their roles establishing the Hall of Fame and their longstanding contributions to sports in Memphis. The annual award celebrates individuals whose dedication and influence have a lasting impact on the local sports community. Ken Bennett will be the recipient of that. I often see Ken and his wife walking around their beautiful lab in our neighborhood. So, I know you said you've got a rant.
We Jeff Calkins, right? Is he's involved in the decision?
Like, he's a voter.
What's the voting process?
My understanding is it kind of works like the college football playoff committee, where like
Condoleezza Rice,
people
Jeff Calkins.
Like they start with a big list, you nominate, and then you vote and kind of whittle down.
Whittle down. Okay. And there's nothing against this list. Is that this year's? I mean, Zebo, obviously, right? Reggie White, obviously. Jarvo, hands down for sure. And so it's nothing against like who's going in this year, but my issues has always been, as the host of 9-1 Wrestling, an advocate for professional wrestling in this market where it matters more, right? In the SEC football it matters more, but
professional wrestling in Memphis just matters more.
It just matters more here. And when this Hall of Fame was established, an immediate question for a sports Hall of Fame, especially in this market, is: are you going to take in professional wrestlers into the Hall of Fame? Would wrestlers be eligible? And they immediately said professional wrestlers would be eligible, but somehow in year one they didn't put in Jerry the King Lawler, so they waited until 2022 to put in one of the biggest names in the history of this city, right? Like internationally known.
I would say arguably the man that is most connected to the city other than Elvis,
right? as far as people know where he is from.
Correct.
And he is out there telling people he is from Memphis, and he was doing it every single night on a national stage for decades. And so they finally put in the King, though, but they haven't put in any other professional wrestlers, Jeffrey. No other pro wrestlers have been inducted in a city that has created the best roster in history of people to ever come through this territory. We're still waiting. We're still waiting for some more wrestlers to get inducted. Not just wrestlers, like, I've got a list. I'm going to go through a list. You ready for somebody? Like, Jimmy Hart, Treadwell High graduate, the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, a big important part of Memphis wrestling in the late 70s, early 80s, and of course, a big impact on the national stage as manager to, a guy who likes to...
He also read the banger Lance Russell's Nose.
Right. He also, music artist, all that. I think he's in the Memphis. I think he went into the Memphis Music Hall of Fame this year, possibly.
I think he's got Grammys.
Yes. And he's wrote so many wrestling theme songs. But anyway, Jimmy Hart, one of the greatest managers of all time, went to the same high school as Penny and the King, all at different times. So Jimmy Hart, obviously, and we're talking from outside the ring, Lance Russell, who is considered one of the greatest announcers in the sport of professional wrestling of all time.
Absolutely.
One of the greatest of all time. And he's not in this, but we're putting in, I like him. I mean, Jack Eaton's in there. Mm-hmm. Jack Eaton's. We've got the... We're putting in the voices. Lapidus is in it. Jarvis is going in. Where is Lance Russell? Speaking of which, why not Dave Brown, then? Where's Dave Brown? I know Dave Brown should be considered. And those are some basic names. But as far as wrestlers, Bill Superstar Dundee.
Yeah,
he's still around, and he can still accept this award. He's getting up there in age, though, y'all. We need to get some of these guys in. We have Brian Christopher, son of yes. Jerry the King Lawler, too sexy, should be in there. Mm-hmm. Eddie Gilbert, the entire Gilbert family. Yeah, Wildfire Tommy Rich, handsome Jimmy Valiant. Jeff Jarrett, we've got Sid, who just passed away yesterday. Sid Vicious could go in. Why is Jackie Fargo not in? I mean, I wasn't around to see Jackie Fargo wrestle, but the fabulous one, Jackie Fargo. And you got other old names, if you want to, reach back into Sputnik Monroe, right? And he had such an impact. The fabulous ones, Rock and Roll Express, Jim Cornette, Tojo Yamamoto, Coco Beware, Macho Man Randy Savage, Kamala, Rocky Johnson. Speaking of the Rock, The Rock started here. Why haven't I put The Rock in yet? R-Truth, Ron Killings. Dirty Dutch Mantel, Rick Rude, Sensational Sherry, Bam Bam Bigelow, Miss Texas. How about this guy, Jeff? Forgot his pro wrestling start in Memphis. Kurt Angle. He's an Olympic gold medalist. Kurt Angle, an Olympic gold. He does. He's an Olympic gold medalist, and how is he not qualified for your sports Hall of Fame? But that's just some of the names that you could, every year I think you should put in a pro wrestler. That's how long this list is, and it can keep going on and on, depending on how far you want to stretch it to other big names like Undertaker and stuff who started here. But, every year you could put in a big wrestling name, and many of them could come out and sell you tickets, because I know you want to sell tickets to this Hall of Fame induction as well.
I do wonder, though, if the wrestlers have an appearance fee.
An appearance fee. I think the King did it. A lot of times in this market, if the King does it, I think everybody else will do it. So once Jerry does it, the other wrestlers will follow suit if the King did it.
I'm going to go out on a limb and guess the simplest answer is probably the correct answer, that we don't have an advocate like you on the committee.
I think I need to be on the committee.
I don't even think it's some type of like active shunning of wrestling.
They're not thinking about it. Whoever's on the committee.
And I don't think anyone like has the...
But they're obviously making an effort, which you should, right, to diversify sports, make sure you have women and all of that on this list. But they're ignoring the professional wrestling side of it all, which every year for the next 30 years, you can have one other person from the pro wrestling world be on that list. And whether you think some of the names I named are not deserving or are, Jerry Jarrett, and I mentioned his name. Like, there's Plowboy Frazier. Plowboy Frazier went on, this guy, if you've never seen Plowboy Frazier, this was before our time, Jeffrey. But he, dominant big man, gets called up to WWE. He's like Uncle Elmer in WWE.
He looks like that new guy that played football at Syracuse been dominating.
This guy is massive. And he gets married on Saturday night's main event.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the highest ratings they've ever had on NBC in that Saturday Night Live time slot was this Memphis wrestler, Plowboy Frazier, getting married in his, like, overalls, right?
God, just a tremendous name, Plowboy.
Yeah, Plowboy Frazier. So, I mean, there's a list. This is not even, you know, this is not the complete list. This is off the top of Kevin's head. I typed this up this morning. I was like, all right, well, who's not in this? And because it's more than just Jerry Lawler. Some people just think of Memphis wrestling and they think of the King, right? And you should. And he obviously should be in there. But, like, we don't stop there. Can we induct the Coliseum too? Can you induct buildings? I don't know.
That's a good question. We'll ponder this.
But anyway, we'll talk to Calkins on Thursday morning, and
you've inspired me on this. That's true. You do have a direct line. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Mike Sando of The Athletic joins us. Let's talk about the NFL quarterback tier list. We'll do that next right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. At Sando NFL. Mike, we referenced your story yesterday on the quarterback tiers, and I think we should probably just start with the first question for me. Do we actually just need tier zero for Patrick Mahomes just to separate him from everyone else?
We really might. And there were some ballots I got from guys, you know, in the league who only had him as their only guy in one. I mean, he is unique. He's unique and really, not going to sound too hyperbolic here, but you can't name very many quarterbacks that have won Super Bowls, let alone multiple Super Bowls, on teams that didn't have really good defenses. And that was him in 2019 and 22. It just doesn't happen. And it's because it's really hard. But he is special, and he's able to do it. And then last year they got a good defense, and they won it again.
Well, to me, it's almost like last year might have been, if you're a fan of an AFC team or anyone that doesn't like the Chiefs, I actually thought last year was the most depressing of all the Super Bowls because, yes, that defense was great and those corners really did shut down the Niners, but that just didn't really feel like the best team he's ever played on. And to me, it's like, in that team still wins a title. It's like, I don't know, maybe it's just inevitable.
Yeah. They won it in an off year. I think the team that really has to be crushed the most was Baltimore because they were dominant during the regular season. They had a great defense. Everything was coming together. And I think they scored 10 points.
I mean, not only that, it's like, and it just felt like the whole time that they were just completely in control of that game, which kind of brings me to Lamar and the fact that he's in tier two. And something that's kind of stood out to me as we get into peak offseason content, which is rankings, let's be clear. I feel like most executives and the roster types have Lamar kind of tier two, but I feel like whenever we see a player's list, players always have him as, like, the number two player. I mean, I think I saw one list where he was ahead of Mahomes and whatnot. What do you think the disconnect is there?
Having a criteria?
Yeah.
I mean, that's all it is. It's kind of like when you have MVP voting, what's the criteria? You know, there's not one, right? If I want to think this guy's most valuable, you can argue the other one. The quarterback tiers that I do were, you know, developed from talking to coaches, executives, and some players too in the early stages, just about what are the critical dividing lines between these different gradients of quarterbacks. And so for the tier one quarterback, you know, you're carrying your team every week, team wins because of you, and you expertly handle the peer pass situations, which has been a little bit of a struggle for Lamar compared to some of the other guys, in that, one, they haven't been in those situations a lot, and two, when they have in the playoffs, it hasn't gone well for them. It hasn't looked good. An extreme example of that, it would be like Tua Tagovailoa. Like, when it's right for him, unbelievable. They're playing in the system. When he has to pass, really, really breaks down. And to the point that Tua is the top of tier three. Lamar is right on the cusp of tier one because people do think in the league that he's so good. He's so dynamic. But the game of quarterback gets reduced to, at its essence, at its most difficult, to passing when the defense knows you're going to pass. That's been a little bit of a struggle there. And so last season, even though they had a great defense, great special teams, they fell short when they were in that situation. That said, he's fourth on the list of these quarterbacks in the whole league, and he's within about two or three votes of being in tier one. So he surged up because people think highly of him.
Yeah, to me, it's always been like, okay, if I have generic franchise and Lamar is available, I have no problem taking Lamar. If the other three, I mean, honestly, I have it exactly how it's ranked here. It's like 1, 2, 3, and 4. I think you can argue with 2 and 3 if you're someone that's bothered by Joe's
with Burrow's injuries, like, I think that's completely fair. But if you're someone that goes, hey, man, Burrow's gone head-to-head in a playoff game, and he's knocked off Mahomes, so I give the nod there. Like, I'm fine with that. Lamar makes you relevant, but it just does feel like inevitably you're going to get into a situation where he has to beat you with his arm. And, again, that's the reason we play the games. Maybe he does get better, but it's just like, I feel like,
yeah,
I feel like you can feel the tension. I felt like in that AFC title game, I could feel Lamar's nerves through the TV screen.
I could too. You know, I think that though he did make progress as a passer, and their offense did, they went to more of a three receiver offense. I think he had a good passing season on the whole. But you're right; it's a little bit still playing left handed for them as a team, because they've really, if you think about what a great job they did when he was coming out of college, because he had a specific skill set, but he wasn't ready to be the passer that he is today when he was a rookie. So they totally changed an offense and reinvented it, and it was awesome. But now they've tried to grow out of that and expand from that. And I think it's been successful. I think they have done that. It's just, you know, in one season, do you think they suddenly become comfortable fully in that type of a setting? Now, what's interesting this year is, after that playoff loss, they didn't go out and sign a Nutter OBJ. They went and got Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
They're almost signaling like, hey,
maybe we're going to go back to it. Maybe if it wasn't broke, don't fix it. Let's see if we could be better that way.
Let's do that. And then let Lamar continue to grow and have rapport with receivers and hopefully have a better outing the next time.
I do think it helps that a franchise that I think has so much draft success, the fact that they had been so poor at drafting receivers, and it does feel like now with Zay Flowers, they've hit on one. I think that helps them to a certain degree.
Yeah, it does. It does. It just hasn't been a place where a lot of receivers have wanted to be. It hasn't been a receiver-friendly offense. And, you know, to whatever extent that's just the offensive design, or it's Lamar, or some combination, we'll see over time. Because ideally, he's still a young player. Ideally, he'll be there a while and get to have multiple swings at this thing, and hopefully for him and them, develop and break through.
How polarizing was Josh Allen?
Not very. No, I don't think so. I think Josh Allen, you know, got 11 votes lower than Tier 1, and those would be people that think he's a little too reliant on taking off and running, which can dry up on you in those critical situations we talked about, and then that he has, you know, more turnovers and more kind of negative plays than you would like, and sometimes that kind of bites him and is a product of him playing too aggressively. I think this season will be a great test for that. Obviously, Stephon Diggs is not there. The team is probably, you know, more on his back even than it's been, and we'll, you know, I think he can carry it. Can he avoid some of those, you know, kind of head-scratcher plays that maybe lose you a game here or there?
The thing that's fascinating to me about Josh is when you go through, like, the course of the season and you chart, like, if you're just looking at the stats at the end of the year and you see the turnovers and you're like, okay, he's turnover-prone. The thing, though, is when you go through, like, all 17 games, it's like he'll give you like a four-pick performance against the Jets. Or it's like every time they're playing as a big favorite, he turns the ball over four or five times. But then all the games against playoff teams, it's like he's really, really good. But it's almost like when they get in the games and he thinks they should be blowing them out, he's like, ah, screw it, I'm going deep.
I can see that. I think it could feel a little bit like that. I think he does have that in him. He's got a little bit of a wildness to his game. I think he enjoys playing the game. I think he wings it sometimes. But we really used to see that a lot early in his career, you know, and I think it was a huge detriment then because he wasn't as consistent of a passer, as consistent of a player. Now, he makes enough plays consistently that you would just like to weed out a few of them. They're not all going to go away, but just weed out a few of them.
Does C.J. Stroud feel like the type of guy, if he shows this year, last year was no fluke, that we're already moving him up to Tier 1 after this?
Yes, I think that there's a lot of football to be played to determine that with teams now that are wise to Houston and be better prepared for them and that. And we'll see. Sometimes you make a big surprising season like that, and then you have that thought, hey, let's load them up with even more. Let's really go here and ask him to do even more. And he's still a young player, so I think it just remains to be seen. I think he benefits a little bit from the fact that the expectations there were so low. People thought the team was bad, and people questioned the first-year coach, the first-year offensive coordinator. And so when they won and he played well, I think he got a lot of the credit for it, deservedly so. But in retrospect, they were pretty good on the offensive line. In retrospect, they were pretty good at wide receiver. In retrospect, D'Amico Ryans maybe did a good job. Maybe the offensive coordinator was pretty good. And so how much more of a jump, how much better are they going to be in the second year? I think, you know, this, we got to watch it. We got to see it.
I think you hit on a real key point for me. How many rookies have a left tackle as good as Laremy Tunsil? Because to me, it's like when you watch CJ play, he just doesn't really have to worry about the left side. Like when his first read's not there, he's kind of buying time. He'll kind of drift right because he just doesn't have to worry about the left side. And it's like, to me, that's such an underrated part of being a young quarterback. When you know that you've got a left tackle like that, it just helps. To me, it helps development at a much higher rate than we see with other guys.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, exactly. He had better protection. I think he also showed he can handle, you know, the pocket and win from the pocket, which is can be hard for especially young guys to do. They like to bail out of there a lot of times, but he did a nice job with that. But you're right, had good protection too, and some good players up front gave him a little bit of a head start over some of the other guys we've seen come in and just sort of be, you know, washed away to sea.
We're talking with Mike Sando of The Athletic. We're talking about his quarterback tier list. Mike, we'll wrap up with you on this one. What's the proper way to view the Brock Purdy discourse?
Well, that if you're, yes, you can be on a really good team in a great situation, but if you produce consistently at a high level, you get some of the credit too. So, you know, Brock Purdy moved up into tier two. Feels about right. He's kind of the lower part of tier two. I think if he does it again, you know, he'll inch up a little bit more. And then what'll happen, it'll be interesting, maybe he gets paid. Maybe there's no Trent Williams, right? Maybe one of the receivers is gone. Maybe Kittle's winding down. The team complexion changes, and then we'll get maybe a little bit of a heavier burden for him to carry. And then we'll see how well he does. And if he's able to keep them going with a really good offense, then who knows how high he ascends.
Mike, really appreciate it. It's one of my favorite pieces every year. Thank you, my man.
Thank you.
That is Mike Sando of The Athletic, also host of the GM podcast from The Athletic as well.
You're saying that's a tier one piece every year?
That's a tier one piece. That might even be tier zero. Just like Mahomes. Like that's one of my all-time favorites. Also, I see the rest of the league catching up with Herbert. Just saying. There's somebody that was there first. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll tell your story next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Kevin, apparently it's not just Taylor Swift and the Swifties that are arguing and insisting upon Eras and the Eras Tour. We've got yet again another former player calling out Anthony Edwards regarding his remarks that he thinks players are more skilled today than they were back in the other eras. I get a one, Kevin Garnett. The skill level has gotten better overall, but I don't think it makes you a better player overall. So let me get this straight. You do agree that they're more skilled, but it doesn't make them better? If they're more skilled, how are they not better? Are you saying they're not as athletic? I'm willing to hear it out, because I do think one of the problems when you compare eras is oftentimes it's the way that the game is officiated or the rules that oftentimes dictate changes. Well, in the 90s, when you could basically, unless you drew blood, it wasn't a foul, it's going to appear that it's a lot less skilled game, and it's also going to, it's going to ask different questions than when you have more spacing and now there's less physicality. Like, you can be more skilled, but that one's a tough one for me. You do agree that they're more skilled now, but you don't think they're better.
Right. It makes sense, but I can't figure out how.
I mean, I guess what you can say is there's more than – this is part of the reason why I think the old guard doesn't put Steph as high as Steph probably should. I think the old guard thinks of Steph as a gimmick. Like, it's just – oh, he's just a great shooter. It's not that he's a great player.
Right,
which is absurd.
Yeah,
like
he's
a generational player. I want to thank Mike Sando for joining the program, as well as Tim Murray. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends.
For Dennis, for Kevin, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show's coming up next.
Memphis is number one place for sports. This is WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, flagship home of the Memphis Grizzlies. 92.9 FM, ESPN, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Need a little help? O'Reilly Auto Parts can help. Need advice? We've got advice. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Exceptional customer service. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer whenever I want?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. 94% of Sleep Number smart sleepers report better sleep. And now, during our biggest sale of the year, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed. Plus free home delivery on select smart beds when you add any base. Ends Labor Day. To find a store near you, visit sleepnumber.com.
Are you looking to save on gas? Well, we Gossett covered at Gossett Kia on the Pike with 41 MPG Highway and your new 2024 Kia Forte LXS. $199 a month, $37.99 due at signing. Or how about a 2024 Kia EV9 Lite with 0% APR available for 48 months? Or get 304 EPA estimated range for $389 a month, $49.99 due at signing. All 24-month lease. Plus, you always get peace of mind with Kia's 10-year 100,000-mile power train limited warranty. Call Bobby J. He's ready to put you in your new Kia today. That's Gossett Kia 1900 Covington Pike or online 24/7 365 at KiaCovingtonPike.com.
If you want it, we got it at Gossett Motor Cars.
650 acquisition fee, 20,000 per year, 20 cents excess mileage. Forte RE794066, MSRP 21820, EV9R60, 29603, MSRP 61035. Lease terms include all rebates and incentives, and PF 695 includes tax, title, license, registration, and fees. Must finance through Hyundai with approved credit, valid through 83124, dealer stock only.
Need inspiration? Shop Kroger for over 30,000 mouth-watering choices with savings beyond low prices, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump. More savings and more inspiring flavors make Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.